Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A blessed Good Friday to you all. Today is truly a day of joy, not a day of sorrow. But you might ask yourself, well, what's with all the black? What's with the talk of the cross? The crucifixion, the scourging of Christ, the shaming, the mocking, the spitting of our Lord. What's with all of this if it's a day of joy? Well, most oftentimes Christians treat this day as a funeral for Jesus. They focus with a pious intent on some level, but it's a bit misapplied. When we focus on things like those who harmed Christ, it's a bit, well, it's not wrong to say that he was surely betrayed by those close to him and those who should have been the ones to follow after him. Not only Judas, but the Jews who should have seen in him their promised Savior. They were the ones to hand him over to be crucified. And the Romans, not really knowing any different, just did what came naturally to them and crucified a man. Although he didn't deserve it, it really wasn't anything special in their accounting of things. And it would be wrong for us to focus only on these people and not on what exactly Christ has done. To focus on what Jesus has done is truly the right thing to do today. And that's why it's joyous. That's why today is full of joy. And there's a difference between joy and being happy. It's hard to be sad and happy at the same time. But it is possible to be sad and joyful at the same time. So today, when we hear of the account of the suffering and the death of our Lord Christ, we do so with joy because of what that means for us. The world looks at what we're doing and they say, bunch of silly Christians gathering on a day to hear about the torture and the suffering and the death of a man who died thousands of years ago. And they look at the cross and they say, what a horrible thing. How can anybody think that this was good, let alone call this Good Friday? But today we know and we hear that our Lord, our King, Christ Jesus, reigns on high for us. He is not been defeated. He is triumphant that in his death we now live. That paradoxically the world is in the darkness of sin and Jesus shines forth his light in a way that is perplexing. He shines forth his light in this darkness of sin with something that seems even darker, which is his cross. Sometimes being in this world, we need to be reminded that Christ is the King who leads us through the darkness by the light of his suffering and his death and his cross. Because the world is full of the darkness that I have said, and I could go on a litany of all the different things that the world has going on. But I'll spare us today of that. You know very well all the bad things. I might just mention things like sexual deviancy, abortion, confusion of the genders, the races, the sexes, all these things like this, people being hateful toward each other, and people actually seething and hating Christ himself. Make no mistake about it, the world does hate Christ. don't know if you've been following things in the news recently. It might be a minor point in the news cycle, but there are people that are in the social media kind of sphere, and there's been a phrase that's been going around that people that are worldly just can't stand. And even Christians who are a bit too friendly with the world say, hey, Christians, tone that down just a little bit, right? What could that phrase be? Well, believe it or not, the phrase that the world can't stand and that worldly Christians don't want us to say too loudly or proudly is that Christ is king. Christ is king. And when we gather here today, that is paramount to know. Christ is our king. He reigns for us in a strange way. And not only does he reign for us, not only is he triumphant for us, but he leads us through the darkness of this world by his light. And the world can't stand it. There's an odd thing being a Christian that if you go back to the Old Testament, when God shows himself to his people, he does so in a way that perplexes even them. When he shows himself to them, he doesn't show the fullness of his glory, right? That his people say, show us your face, we want to see you. Even Moses says the same, right? And our Lord says, you cannot see my face lest you would die. So he shrouds himself in darkness, in thick darkness. And when Moses goes to speak with God, he goes deeper and deeper into that cloud where God is dwelling, because God doesn't want him or us to focus on what we see, but rather what we hear. That when we see the cross, we see pain and suffering and death, and we don't readily, according to our own sinful flesh, see that that's where our king should be. But by his word, we know that that is exactly where he should be. That he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. When he is raised up on his cross, that is where he draws all to himself. That people like to think of the different categories of the state of humiliation and the state of exaltation that our Lord found himself in, that our Lord put himself in, I should say. And they see the cross as the height of the humiliation that he suffered. But in reality, the cross is the height of that glory that he shows to us. That in this way, he shows himself and he shows his love by being pierced, by suffering, by dying, by shedding his blood for those who don't deserve it. We as Christians should know that the cross is the height of God's glory. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh see it as failure, but God means it for our salvation and for our good. That in the cross, God takes all that we would hold dear, all that would actually fall short of his glory. He takes it all to himself, and he gives us all that has been promised to Jesus as that firstborn son. We are given his spotless life. We are given his justification before God. We are given the clean slate, and not only that, but the righteousness of God is given to us in his cross. It's something that we focus on today because really, if no other reason, and maybe this is being a bit too contrarian, but we should focus on that because it confounds the world. The world just doesn't get it. And if the world doesn't understand it, but the Lord says, this is what we focus on, then we say, Amen, Lord. We will look at this and we will say, this shall be so. And we trust in our Lord when he stood before Pilate and he says that for this cause he has come into the world, that he should bear witness to the truth, and that everyone who is of the truth hears his voice. In his voice, we hear that it is finished. It is complete. It is done for you. Your sins have been crucified. The death that you have won for yourself by what you do, he takes upon himself. And he gives you his perfect life, his spotless life, his grace, his mercy, and his peace. That in him, we as Christians now, we pick up our cross and we carry it, knowing that the burden that it once could have been is so light because he has borne his cross for us. And we follow along with St. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, where he says, as we should say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That our life is now cruciform. Our life now can make sense of suffering. Our life can now make sense of pain because of what Christ has done for us. Our King reigns from his throne, from his cross, and he draws all to himself. So be joyful for what he has done. Be joyful that your King, when the world rages against his light, he has told you by his word that he has triumphed over the world for your sake by his blood shed for you. Our crucified, risen, and ascended King reigns triumphant to lead you and all who trust in him through this world's present darkness and into his marvelous light. Because God never promises that he will keep us from the darkness, but he promises that he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. But we are comforted because of what he has done. His kingdom is not of this world, and neither are you, all you who trust in his word, who hear his voice, who are of the truth that he speaks. So that you can go out into this world and say, Christ is King and he has triumphed for me in what he has done in dying for me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.